This evening we turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And I want to read just a few verses, as I'll be covering some of them also later from Ephesians 6. I'll read those at this time as well. But 2 Corinthians 10 first. 2 Corinthians 10. Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you, by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present, with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, fleshly, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do ye look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trust to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ. For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given me, for edification and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed, that I may not seem as if I would terrify you by letters. For his letters say they are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. Let such an one think this, that such as we are in word by letters, we, when we are absent, such we will be also indeed when we are present. For we dare not make ourselves of the number, or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. For we stretch not ourselves beyond measure, as though we reached not unto you. For we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope, when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in other men's line of thing made ready to our hand. For he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. Let's turn then also to Ephesians 6, because we're talking about the Christian warfare, and we're going to end up considering also the armor that has been given to us. And that armor is clearly laid out for us in Ephesians 6, and verse 10 is where we will begin. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So far we read God's holy and inspired, infallible word. Beloved, you realize, I trust, most of you being older, that our thought and our thought life is very important. Some time ago, I read this little saying, which you may have heard before as well. It goes something like this: watch your thoughts, they become words. Watch your words, they become actions. Watch your actions, they become habits. Watch your habits, they become character. Watch your character, it becomes your destiny. It began with thoughts. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he, the proverb tells us. Tonight we are going to be directed by the Apostle Paul as we're thinking about the Christian warfare, that really much of this comes down to how we are called to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And so I draw your attention especially to verse 5 of 2 Corinthians 10, where we read again these words. He says, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." And our theme is simply Christian warfare. And I want to consider three things. We want to consider, what is this casting down of imaginations that Paul is speaking about? What does that look like today as well? Secondly, I want to see what he understands by taking captive our thoughts. What is the meaning of this? What is it to be understood? We are to take captive our thoughts to the obedience of Christ. And lastly, I want to look at the equipment that is necessary to do this very task of Christian warfare. Paul here is writing the second time to the church at Corinth. There had been those who had come into this church and brought in evil doctrines and teachings, and Paul was warning them. He spoke a bit against those also in our chapter that were saying against him, Paul is very big in his words, but just wait until he comes among us. He's not so big in his words after all. But he is writing to them, this is by the authority that he has been given of God. Paul begins by spelling out in this letter to them the glorious truth of the doctrine of reconciliation. And then in our chapter, he comes to the very heart and center of what Christian life is. After having come to Christ by faith, he is demonstrating to us that this life is a warfare. And it's not after the fleshly manner. It's not earthly battles. Oh, it takes place in the warp and woof, in the earthly. Yes, it does. It takes place in our relationships. It takes place with the things that are happening around us, indeed. But it's far beyond that. The battle of which Paul is speaking about here is with imaginations. It's with arguments. It's with philosophy. It's with ideas also. When you and I live in this world today and we pick up our newspaper and read what is communicated to us, when we listen to our national leaders speak to us and even in debate, and we look around on the internet and we read things, these are philosophies and ideas and arguments that are no less having an effect upon us then sometimes the arguments and the philosophy and teaching of the truth of the Word of God. And Paul is saying to us we need to be aware that these things are coming against us. He is saying this battle is not with the weapons of earthly warfare. It's not with swords, as in his day. Or we would say today, it's not with tanks and F-16 fighter jets and guns. But it's a battle, nevertheless. And all those who are under the banner of King Jesus, all those who are in his army, are engaged in this battle. The moment we come to faith in Christ, the sanctification we read about from the Westminster Divines, it's a thorough going battle throughout our whole being, as well as our whole life long. And it's a battle against this world's system of thoughts and practice which has organized itself against our Lord, the Christ. When we were children, when you were children, maybe you also pretended to do battle against some enemies with your sticks, and you were pretending they were guns, throwing grenades at rocks. And Paul is telling us this is no pretending war. It's a real war. Throughout the ages, nations have been at battle against one another. But there has been a battle from the very beginning that has not changed. And the weapons of this battle have not changed either. They are the same weapons that Paul sets before us in this chapter and what we read in Ephesians 6 that are available to us today to overcome the very things that Paul says we are to be fighting against. And this armor, he says, is complete and ready for our use. It's a great battle. It's a significant battle. Wherever we go in life, whatever we do in life, this battle, Paul is saying, we are called to be engaged in. We must see that to some extent or other, we are children of our time. Paul, as he stood on Athens Hill and Areopagus, and he was discussing with the philosophers of his day and reasoned with them from the Word of God, that's what we're called to do as Christians. We're met with every day we enter into the workforce, every day we enter into our families, there are ideas, there are thoughts that are coming toward us that are not according to the Word of God. And we are called to meet these ideas and these philosophies and these imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. We're called to meet it with the armory, with the weaponry that God has given us to fight. Otherwise, we will be taken in and taken captive by our very culture and our thoughts and our thinking and our lives and our destiny will be shaped by our time, by these imaginations and these things that exalt themselves against Christ. Paul gives us a window into precisely what he's talking about. Look, he says, we are called to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. That summarizes in a nutshell, really, all these ideas and all these philosophies and all these things that exalt themselves against God. And today we're living in a humanistic age. And it has taken a strong hold in the hearts of men and women and children. And if we don't pause and reflect upon how our culture can even impress these things upon us and shape our thinking and distort it from the truth of the Word of God, we will be swept along with its philosophy and with its teaching. We are instead, Paul says, to cast down these imaginations and all things that are lifting themselves and exalting themselves against Christ, against the knowledge of God. So in this season, you open your advertisements that come in the mail. No payments to 2017. A materialistic society is creating a message for us. And we buy into these very things in our culture. Go ahead, give yourself a treat. You deserve it type of mentality. Everyone has their rights. No one can tell us what to do. This is all arising from the thought that rises against God, our Lord, and our Christ. How much do we subtly buy into sometimes the idea that our culture is foisting and pushing upon us slowly, deceptively, powerfully, and our thinking is distorted and changed? The strongholds that Paul is referring to here are elevating of man and his authority and his rights above the authority and the right of God Himself. When we consider people can see the videos of babies being torn in the womb, and there is no uprising of the people against these imaginations and high things that exalt themselves against our Lord, when we see that in our culture, two people of the same sex can be married and there is very little that is said, our culture is foisting upon us these imaginations and high things that are exalting themselves against the Lord and against His Christ. And you see, we are living in a society that has lost its moral bearings. And we need to be ever so careful that as those who confess the name of Christ, we will cast down these imaginations, even as they come to us and perhaps find root within us at times. We hear our politicians say that it doesn't matter how we live our private life, as it doesn't affect what I'm doing publicly. Now, all of these are thought patterns that are played out in the lives of people every day. Many in Western societies have heard the Word of God and have rejected it. And the church now is back almost as it were into times of paganism. The church, the believer, is called to cast down these imaginations and all these high things, to speak the truth in love. It struck me some years ago already in Canada, we were reaching out to the community, to children, and you almost live with the impression that most children at least must know what the Bible is and have heard the basic Bible stories. Well, that's not true any longer. It's probably not even true in the community in which we live today. Rather, we have imaginations, we have the philosophy, we have the ideas of this world that fill the mind of our children that are being pushed upon us even by the entertainment industry today. Do we have the understanding that the battle we are engaged in is not an outward battle as much as it is a spiritual battle? Are we those who have so taken in and drunk in the Word of God that we are able to discern clearly these high things that have exalted themselves, and we can set forth and articulate clearly what it means to serve the Lord and His Christ. Is this our life throughout each day, that we are called to be His witnesses? What are other high things that exalt themselves against the Lord? Well, we can meet with those things in our daily work. We can meet with people at work who live for the things of this world, who are trying to rise up the corporate ladder and trying to get to the top and earn more income to have a pleasurable life. But is that something that is an imagination and exalting itself against the knowledge of God? When we've devoted our life entirely to this purpose of rising up the corporate ladder, which our country has set before us as the ultimate goal in many respects? Or have we realized that to be a servant, lowly and humble at the feet of Christ, serving others around us, is what we are called to be? Have we come to recognize that the root upon which many of these imaginations and thoughts that exalt themselves are actually rooted in pride? Focusing upon self and upon self-pity and self-righteousness. Have you recognized in living in this world today what some of these imaginations and high things are that are impressing upon you? Pressing upon the church, to change the church to become something God has said she should not be. Well, Paul in this passage is not only talking to the Corinthians, he is talking to us personally. He is saying we, you at Corinth, and we today are to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself in our thinking, in our understanding. We are actively called of God to engage in this warfare. And how do we do that? Well, Paul tells us, secondly, to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Have you ever, dear friend, just as you meditate on things, as you meditate on the Word, have you ever paused and thought about your own thought life? The things that go through your mind, the things that you think about, are they things that are seeking to exalt the Lord? Are they directing our heart to serve Him better? Are they directed back to the Word of God? Or are they things that enter our mind that are not conducive to glorifying God? Paul says we're to take every thought captive. And I speak to myself, but if we even take today, there's been many words we've spoken. And those words originate from thoughts in our hearts. How many of us have paused and considered these thoughts that have given rise to words that we have spoken? Have we sought in our words to edify? Have we sought in our words to lift up and to build up and to speak to others of Christ? Have we taken our thoughts consciously captive to Christ? In order to go into battle and to take away captives from the enemy, one needs to do that by expending energy and intentionally going and taking captives. And that's what Paul is saying here as well. It's an active thing. You don't take captives sitting in your easy chair at home. It's an activity. It's a warfare. It's an engagement. And so Paul is saying we ought to consciously be thinking about what we're thinking. We're consciously to bring to captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Especially those things that would arise in our thoughts and our minds that would be contrary to God and His will and His Word. So if there are things that come into our mind that are lustful thoughts, that are contrary to His commandments, we're to take them captive and to destroy them and to bring them down. If they are thoughts that would be to take advantage of our neighbor or to get something that would elevate us better than others, this pride of our heart, this thought of our heart must be taken captive and put down. It's high, it's exalting itself. It must be brought low. As we think of Christ and what He has done and how He's followed His Father in complete obedience to His Father's will, we're to take this thought captive and say, Lord, help me to so walk in this way to serve others and to delight in serving Thee. You see, there's no area of our life that can be excluded in what Paul is saying. He is saying, bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We cannot exclude any area of our thoughts which give rise to our daily living. We cannot exclude any thought but to bring it into captivity for the obedience of Christ. Really, this idea, this thought gripped the reformers. It so pervaded their every living, and the Puritans, and all that they did was captivated by the idea we are accountable to God. We are taking every thought captive unto Christ. We are to live for Him. And so as they had in their congregations people who became mathematicians and scientists and all these different disciplines of science, because God's Word prevailed over them all, they were taking in each of their fields captive how God is ruler and reigning supreme, and how He is also in this area, field of study, He is Lord. And they brought everything captive to the obedience of Christ. And they couldn't do this, dear friends, until they had had an understanding of the Word of God itself. If we are going to take every thought captive, if we are going to put down those things that exalt themselves against the Lord and His Christ, and exalt those things that promote His glory, we need to know what His will is. And so therefore, it is a call here also for us tonight to be students of the Word of God, to be attentive upon the things we read, upon the things we hear in preaching. It's through this means that God has given us, we will be able to discern. This is something that is exalting itself against the knowledge of Christ. It ought to be put down in our own hearts, in our community, in this world. It is by reading of the Word of God that we will realize, as we face sufferings in our life, and the thought may occur to us, well, why do I have to suffer like this? It's a self-pity, and it is a high thing that exalts itself against the Lord. It's to be caught captive and to be put down and to confess, my Lord is sovereign over everything in my life, even my suffering. And He has promised He would use this very suffering in my life to conform me and shape me and mold me into His image. That's taking the thoughts of our hearts and our minds captive to the obedience of Christ. Because if we don't know what the standard is, if we don't know what the Word of God is calling us to do, how will we study to show ourselves a good soldier in the army of our Lord Jesus Christ? How shall we recognize the enemy for who he is if we haven't studied the Word of God? Paul tells us these captive thoughts must be brought to the obedience of Christ. Paul, I believe, here has in mind the idea that as you look at Christ, you see his obedience to his Father. If there was one thing our Lord had in mind, as you listen to the words he spoke and as you read through the Gospels, it's one thing. One thing that just grasped him to the core of his heart. My Father's will. That was his delight. Everything else was subject to what he had been called of his Father to do. And that he desired to do, and that he sought to do, and that he did do. He brought every thought, as it were, captive to this thing. He was to be obedient to his Father. And he was to the end. And now Paul is saying, this is our calling. We're to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That ought to be the focal point of our thinking. We ought to bring it into subjection to say, Lord, what would thou have me to do? What would you want me to do in this situation? We're often ready to give words of advice to people, perhaps, but he's saying to us, think. What would bring glory to God? How would you edify this brother or sister? How would you build them up? How would you give words of correction if needed? It is thinking and taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. This requires discipline. The Christian life is a disciplined life. This is what Paul is saying we are called to do. Jesus, our Lord himself, said to us that every thought is going to come before him in judgment. That's an incredible thought. Not our words and actions, but our thoughts. And so he's calling us now. He's calling us in reflection upon what we have seen this morning. In bread and wine, he's calling us to reflect upon what he has done and now to go into this world and live taking every thought captive. That's his calling that lies upon us. We are to act upon the truths of the Word of God and God's will, irrespective in many respects of what we feel. Martin Luther said, feelings come and feelings go. Feelings are deceiving. There's really nothing worth trusting at the Word of God believing. That's where we need to go. We need to fill our minds and our hearts with the Word of God and pray the Spirit of Christ to take them home to us, to enlighten our minds and our understandings so we could speak the words clearly of truth to those whom we meet. And maybe you're wondering now, well, what are the actual weapons that Paul would say we can bring into captivity these thoughts that we have to the obedience of Christ? And that's why I read to you Ephesians 6. Paul says it is the armor of God that we are to put on. It must be put on. The first thing he talks about is having your loins girt about with truth. Truth. In contrast to the lie. God's truth. The lie is exalting itself against God. It always has from the very beginning when Satan came and he says, has God really said? And that lie is being propagated through the ages and it's facing you and me today in different ways, but the same lie. Has God really said? And Paul is saying we're to be engaged by putting on the whole armor of God, having your loins girt with truth. The truth of the Word of God. Found here in His Word that's been given to us. When we consider what God has given in His Word, this truth, it ought to fill our hearts with such gratitude that He gave us His Word. He's exalted it. He's given it for our guide. He's given it for our learning, for our instruction. God's truth will put down all these strongholds and imaginations. And when we study this Word, He will give us the wisdom to overcome these exaltations and to bring thoughts captive unto God. The Word of God, he says, is powerful. It's like a two-edged sword. The sword of the Spirit, Paul will also say in that Ephesians passage. We ought to wield this sword of the Word of God faithfully, truly. It's a word of truth. Even when we are weak, this word is powerful and strong. This Word of God is hope for those who are nearing despair. This Word of God is filled with comfort to those who are tossed with tempest and mourning. It is the Word of truth that will enable us with whomever we meet to be able to give the bread of life. And then Paul says we're to put on the breastplate of righteousness, another piece of this armor. And this righteousness speaks to us of the righteousness of Christ. It will defend us against all the wiles, the arrows of the devil. When we are clothed in Christ's righteousness, we ought to understand by it that we stand in the very presence of God by faith, covered in the righteousness of Christ. There is no weapon, the Lord has said, that is formed against you that shall prosper. When we read the end of Romans 8, we find a most glorious litany of truths, of comfort, being clothed in the garments of righteousness. There is nothing that can be leveled against the believer that would prevail. Paul says to the Thessalonians that this breastplate is a breastplate of faith and love. It is a breastplate that will protect us and keep us safe. You perhaps have known the man Robert Murray McShane, the great preacher. Didn't live a long life, but a faithful ministry. And he spoke about what it means to live holy before God. He said, above all things, cultivate your own spirit. Your own spirit is your first and greatest care. Seek advance in personal holiness. It is not great talents God blesses as much as great likeness to Jesus. A holy minister is an awful weapon in the hand of God. One word spoken by you when your conscience is clear and your heart is full of God's Spirit is worth 10,000 words spoken in unbelief and sin. If we would be rightly clothed, if we would consciously, as Paul says there in Ephesians 6, clothe yourself with the armor of God, put it on. If we would consciously put on the breastplate of righteousness, by faith lay hold of Christ, cling to Him, the fiery dart of the evil one would not be able to penetrate. These imaginations that are flowing all around us and seeking to influence us and to corrupt us would have no entrance. Be clothed in the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Be ready at any moment you are called upon to bring the word of the glad tidings of peace to those who are perishing around you. This is taking captive every thought to the obedience of Christ. Take up the shield of faith. When we read in Hebrews 11, we find the list of the heroes of faith who have taken up the shield of faith and have gained great victory in this spiritual conflict. Paul says, we are to do the same. Subdue kingdoms, quench fires, shut the mouths of lions, and so on. And then he speaks of prayer. Prayer is that weapon, all prayer. We are to be engaged in much prayer in our time and our age. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And if we would indeed take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, we must, brother and sister, be much in prayer. Now, this is the armory that is belonging to each of the church, each of the children of God, enabling us to take captive every thought to the obedience of Christ. But maybe you're thinking, but I still find that there is so much that changes my thinking, so much I am being tempted by even the thoughts around us in the world today. How can we wage this battle that you are speaking about so effectively and powerfully as we're called to do? I find myself failing. Well, Paul tells us it's not because we have gained the victory. It's not because we have earned this weaponry and this armor by what we have done, or because we have been so faithful in our thoughts. But rather, he says, we walk, verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. This is the power that Paul is speaking about. Mighty through God. The battles we are engaged in our own minds and in our own hearts, as we seek to be faithful to God in our lives, Paul is saying this battle, this warfare, this pulling down of strongholds, this taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ is through God. Paul says the weapons that we use are mighty weapons, but they are only effective because of the power of God. John Knox said, God with one man is the majority. There is no weapon that is formed against you if you are a child of the King that will prosper. And the weapons you and I have been given are just what you and I need to be able to overcome. They are the weapons that we have been given in Christ to defeat the enemy. When we read these words of Paul, it is through God that we are enabled to pull down the strongholds and the things that exalt themselves against His Christ. There are many people in this world who are waiting to go see the next film, I suppose, of Star Wars and the Force being with you and the weapons, modern technology being displayed on the screen. But it all is nothing. It comparison to these weapons that Paul is setting before us, that are at our disposal, that the armor he has given us to be able to indeed live the life of sanctification we are called to live. Are we in earnest about taking every thought captive today, Monday morning, we go off to work? Are we consciously thinking about our thoughts and using the armor that has been given to us through the mighty power of God to live lives that reflect thankfulness and gratitude and worship of Him who's given us these very things? Are we fighting the good fight? Paul says, he knew there was laid away for him a crown of righteousness, which he would receive, and all those who love his appearing would also receive. Are you fighting in this battle, knowing that there is laid away for you also a crown? A crown earned by the righteous Christ, so that when we engage faithfully in this warfare, and the time comes for us to lay aside all of our weapons in death, we are ushered in to the King's presence. Well done, good and faithful servant. This victory is sure and certain alone because of the mighty power of God. And when we rely upon Him, dear friends, we will not be put to shame. And this is the goal, really, of the Christian life. To submit ourselves into complete obedience to Christ, taking every thought captive, and directing it to Him, pulling down and putting down all that exalts itself against the Lord and His Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Our merciful and gracious God, help us, Lord, to so fight in this battle, this warfare in which we are engaged. Help us to understand it is a spiritual battle, a battle for our very souls that we are engaged in. But the victory is sure, for the battle has been won. There are many skirmishes yet, we confess, that are taking place. But Thou hast designed each one of them to serve Thy purpose, our sanctification. And we pray now, as we have heard Thy word tonight, that we would indeed seek by Thy grace and power to be clothed in the armor of God and to take every thought captive unto our Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask this now, that Thou would bless us as we depart from Thy house. Lord, hear our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.